I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever had neighbors you didn't care for. Most of us have. In my lifetime, we've lived next door to all kinds of people. I've lived next door to some of the greatest people you could ever want to know, and I've lived next door to some lowlifes. When we first got married, we moved in an apartment, and my wife and I could have gotten high if we'd have just went in our bathroom, shut the door, and inhaled deeply for 30 minutes, all right? Because it was coming up from below, all right? We didn't have the greatest neighbors, all right? The associates that lived around us. Hey, but you don't have to worry about that in heaven. You know why? They're going to be like you. And let's face it, if everybody here was like me, I wouldn't have a problem with anything, right? If everybody here was like you, there would be no problems in this world, right? You say, well, preacher, how in the world you figure everybody's going to be like me? Well, look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, look, if you will, in verse 21, would you? The Bible's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even subdue all things unto himself. Hey, he's going to change this old vile body, and if you're saved, he's going to change your vile body, and it's going to be just like his. It's going to be like his. We're going to be perfect, all right? There's not going to be, you're not going to hear that comment, well, isn't she a snoot? You won't hear that there. You won't hear anybody say, same to you, fella. Won't hear anything like that. Hey, the associate, you won't be disappointed with your associates, all right? I mean, there's going to be perfection. Perfection. They'll be like you. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. Hey, the fourth thing, you won't be disappointed with the accessories. So what do you mean? Well, remember that accommodation we talked about? The Bible says they're going to have a mansion, all right? My Father's house are many mansions. Hey, well, there's also going to be some accessories in the neighborhood. It's going to be amazing. Get over there in the book of Revelation about chapter 21 and chapter 22, and you begin to read the description of those accessories, all right? The Bible talks a pure river of water flowing out from the throne of God. I'm like a lot of other people. I believe there'll be fish in that river. And I like fishing in clear water. Man, that'll be fun days, all right? Hey, the Bible says we'll be there. It says there'll be golden streets. Clear. Pure gold isn't gold in color. It's clear. And pure gold is soft. It's soft. That's why you get a 14-karat gold ring. You really don't want higher because it gets too high. It gets too soft. But you think of a pure, a street paved with pure gold, be clear, it'll be soft. It'll be comfortable walking. Won't that be good? Boy, just to think about that. The Bible talks about that city's going to be built four square. It's going to be as a cube, the same length, the width, and the height. Huge place, unbelievable. Talks about the walls, and it talks about all the jewels that'll be in there. Says that city's going to have 12 gates, and every gate will be one pearl. Now, not a tiny pearl where you got to crawl through, all right? They're gigantic things going to be there. What a place it'll be. Man, the tree of life will be there. The tree of life will be there. Man, I don't think trees are going to lose their leaves in heaven, all right? There's not going to go through that. But not only that, there's going to be a thing called peace. Peace. We'll live in harmony. You'll even be able to get along with your wife. You won't have to fuss with your husband, okay? There's going to be peace. There's going to be harmony, all right? I know some of you look forward to the fights, all right? Well, you better get over that and get it done here because there'll be peace, there'll be harmony there. Hey, You're not going to be disappointed with the accessories there. You won't be disappointed with the activity. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't believe heaven's going to be one big party like the world thinks of today. But I do believe this. I believe we're going to have a shouting good time. We're just going to have a good time. The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, that tells me two things. One, there's going to be food. There's going to be food. You don't have supper without food. Okay? There's going to be food. Now, I can't imagine what it'll be like. But as a diabetic, I'm looking forward to the day where I ain't got to sweat them. I don't have to sweat the carbs. Don't have to worry about the grams of sugar. I demand that there's going to be there. Now, personally, you can believe it however you want to. You can look at it however you want to. I believe there'll be chicken and dumplings served, all right? And chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Yeah, buddy, all right? I believe it'll be there. I believe we're going to eat good there, all right? And there's going to be a celebration, going to be a marriage. Marriage is usually a rejoicing time. We'll sit down to that banquet. We'll be there and get involved in that. Hey, most people like music. The greatest choir the world's ever heard will be there. Greatest choirs ever heard. I was listening on YouTube last night, and I finished listening this morning, where they were singing some of the great songs of the faith, and they had a 101 voice choir. That ain't a drop in the bucket to what's going to be in heaven. Not a drop in the bucket. The Bible says at one point there's going to be 144,000 that are going to be in the choir and going to sing together. Can you imagine what the music's going to sound like there? Can you imagine how that would be to have that? Hey, buddy, it's not going to be some highbrow stuff either. It's going to be song. The songwriter wrote it, and the songwriter knew what he was saying when it'll be a song the holy angels cannot sing. Hey, it's not going to be the angelic choir. Now, the angels sang according to the Bible when the Lord was born. But in heaven, it's not going to be the angels, because it's going to be us, and we're going to sing a song they can't sing. You said, preacher, how you figure that? Because they can never sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, because they've never known. They've never known what a joy it is to be born again. They've never known what a joy it is to have your sins forgiven. They're not able to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They've never known that grace. They've never known it, all right? But hey, I want to tell you what, there's going to be singing there. You talking about activity, there'll be activity. I don't believe, you know, people think we'll be floating on the clouds, stroking a harp. You have got to be kidding. And by the way, no biblical basis for that whatsoever. None. But there'll be something there to keep you excited and happy. You won't be disappointed with the activity. Hey, you won't be disappointed with the apparel either. What are we going to wear, preacher? Well, Revelation 19:14 talks about us being clothed in linen, pure and white. Linen. Ladies, you won't have to worry about wrinkles. Linen's not bad to wrinkle. It'll be there. You said, but man, it's going to be white. Yeah, but remember, we're going to be in the cleanest place you've ever been. Never been in a place as clean as heaven. Never been there. You talk about comfort. I'm told that linen is comfortable. It's cool. I don't think you'll be complaining. You're not going to go, I just wish I had something that made me look slimmer. All right? I don't think you'll worry about that, okay? Personally, I believe we get to heaven, we'll all be perfectly round. But I don't have any scripture for that, but I thank you. Hey, man, I just tell you, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I don't think you're going to be disappointed in the apparel. And let me say this to you. You're not going to be disappointed with the acknowledged leader in heaven. You're not going to be disappointed there. Not going to be disappointed. Well, I voted for somebody, but they didn't do what I voted for. Well, you're not going to get a vote. Our leader's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let me tell you something. Today, when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he came as the Lamb of God. But there, he's going to rule and reign as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, wait a minute. That's not all. It's the lily of the valley. It's that bright and morning star. It's the one the Bible says is the altogether lovely one. And man, we could just go on and on and on about him. It's who, preacher? Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1, I think, is where I want to go. Revelation chapter 1, if you would. I want you to know what the Bible says. I want you to look in verse 12. John, the Bible tells us here in verse 1, was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. He was there, and he said in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Hey, we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about the one that came to this earth. Took upon him the form of a servant. The Bible said, made in the likeness of man for one reason, that he could take your sin and my sin and his own body and bear that sin on Calvary's tree and pay the sin debt that you and I could never have paid, but he paid it for us. That's the one who's going to be the acknowledged leader there. It's not going to be anybody else. Hey, we're never going to be disappointed. We're never going to say, let's vote to throw him out. We're going to worship him. We're going to be thrilled with that because he's going to rule and reign in righteousness. And you'll be able to handle it because you'll have a new body. You'll have one that's like him. Can I say this to you? You're not going to be disappointed there. You're not going to be disappointed in heaven. There'll be no disappointments there. But I believe there will be some disappointments. But it won't be with heaven. Not going to be with heaven. We might be disappointed in who's not there. We might be disappointed in who's not there. Hey, what do you mean, preacher? I mean your friends. Your friends. Your family members. Maybe those people you work on the job with. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Did it ever occur to you they won't go unless you tell them? They don't know how to go. See, the truth of the matter is most people in this world have the mistaken idea, well, hey, we're all going to heaven. I've never heard anybody say when their loved one or their friend or their acquaintance died, well, they're in hell. Everyone that's ever died, I've always heard them say they're in a better place. I've heard them say that about people who live like the devil, never bore any testimony for knowing God, never acted like they cared about God, but they just figure, well, they're in a better place. I stood in the cemetery yesterday and conducted a short service for the fifth member of that family that I've conducted over the years. And I got to thinking about it. I got to thinking about them, those folks that I know, people, members of this church. Brother and Ms. Barber, their daughter Sandy, buried next to them. Brother Barber's mom buried at his head. I conducted all of their funerals. Had the privilege of doing that. Had the privilege of knowing, though, when I did, that I could say from their own testimony, they had put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have that great hope to see them again, but not because they were good, but because they knew the one who died for them. Hey, you might be disappointed you get to heaven and you begin to look around and people, you just said, well, surely they're going to be okay. But did you ever tell them? Did you ever witness to them? Did you ever speak up for the Lord, for them? Did you ever do that? Maybe the disappointment's going to be in the reward that we get. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's going to be a time of reward in heaven. There's going to be a time of reward in heaven. Well, what's yours going to be? Is there going to be disappointment? There's an old song that says, "No tears in heaven fair. No tears, no tears up there." That is an unscriptural song. Because our Bible says, in heaven, God shall wipe away all tears. Where are the tears going to come from? It's not going to be because you're disappointed in your mansion. It's not going to be because of the accommodations. You're not going to be upset. It's not going to be you disappointed in the associates. It's not going to be disappointment in the accessories. It's not going to be disappointment in the activity. It's not going to be disappointment with the apparel. It's not going to be a disappointment with our leader. But it may be disappointment because we realize I could have done a lot more than I did for my Lord. That's where the disappointment. It may be disappointment because you realize, hey, I never witnessed Uncle Bud. I never witnessed Uncle Bud. I can't find him. I can't find him. Hey, folks, I mean, I can preach to you on heaven. I'm looking forward to going. Heaven, happy home above. Heaven full of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling home. Heaven eternal. Heaven supernal. Hey, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to going. But I got news for you. I'm not standing here preaching to you and saying, never sweat it, you're on your way, you're in good shape. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you aren't going. I might want you to go, and I do want you to go, but it's up to you to trust the Savior. It's up to you personally to put your faith and your trust in Him. It's up to you to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you and to save your soul. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, they're saved, they're going to heaven. That's wonderful. Mom and Dad, they're saved, they're going to heaven. That's good. Hey, brother and sister, they're going to heaven, but that doesn't mean you are. You can have that long list of folks ahead of you that are saved, but it doesn't mean you're saved. Unless you personally trusted Him. Not you performed some great deed. No, you by faith. By faith. You have to trust him as your Savior. You got to call upon him. I got a call this week, Brother Mahaney. They were at youth camp this week with their church. And his kids were there. And they had one of his children come to him and say, "Dad, there's been a lot of preaching on salvation." He said, I'm not sure. He said, "I'm not sure if I'm just being shaken because of the preaching or if God's dealing with me about my salvation." He had made a profession of faith in the past. And his dad talked to him and said, "Well, what you need to do is you need to pray. And you need to figure that out. You need to decide between you and God." And let me say this to you, my friend. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You ought to have that assurance of that heavenly home. And that assurance comes from knowing, hey, not I did what some man said, but I did what God said. You said, "Preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven?" Because of what this book says. I did what the book said to do. I did what the book said to do. Therefore, I don't doubt it. But I don't want you sitting here thinking, "Well, I was dunked in the baptistry." That doesn't make you saved. That doesn't make you a child of God. You say, "Well, I've partaken of the Lord's Supper." That doesn't make you a child of God. "Well, I've told other people how to get saved." That doesn't make you a child of God. The question is, when did you trust him? When did you trust him? You. When did you call upon him and ask him to save your soul? Now, let me tell you something. We're talking about eternity. We're not talking about a few days or a week or two. We're talking about eternity. Eternity. Question is your name written there? It is if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you? If you have, you'll not be disappointed in heaven unless you're disappointed in what you've done here and you've not rewarded like you could have been. Unless get to heaven and realize, "I should have talked to so-and-so. I should have talked to this person. I should have witnessed to them." Hey, don't be disappointed with heaven. We may be disappointed by who is not there. How about you? How about you? You need to come this morning and trust Christ as your Savior. I don't want you to count on some experience you had. I've had people tell me, "Well, I was sitting in my room and all of a sudden this bright light appeared." I ain't got nothing to do with salvation. I don't care what your experience is. Have you trusted the Savior? Have you trusted him? And you put your finger on the day in your life and you say, "That's that. That's the day I trusted him. That's the day I got saved." That's it for sure. If not, would you make July the 20th, 2025 the day? Would you make this the place? Would you make about 12 noon be the time? Would you do that? Don't put it off. Hey, you won't be disappointed when you get to heaven, all right, with what's there. But how about your friends? Don't you want them to go? How about your family members? I was talking this morning with my youngest granddaughter. She came in the office. I was sitting in there, and I heard her mama say, you can go see your grandpa if you want to. She came in there. We were talking, and she looked over at a picture frame I have there that's got a picture of my dad and a lot of his sermon notes in the frame with him. And she looked over there, and she said, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, that's my daddy. That's my daddy." And she said, "Is he dead?" And I said, "Yes, he is." I said, "He passed away." I said, "He's in heaven." And I thought, But one day, I hope you'll get to meet him. But she's got to get saved to do that. She's got to get saved. And her mom and dad are keeping her in church. And they're keeping a home atmosphere that'll encourage that. And we're praying she'll get saved soon as she gets to that point in life where she understands she can go. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it to her. I said, but one day I'd like to introduce you to him. I said, that's my dad, but it's your great-grandpa. Hey, your kinfolk's going to be there? If they're alive today, you got a chance to reach them. You got a chance. Hey, I'm not going to be disappointed watching heaven itself. But I hope I don't disappoint myself. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, I'm here because I love you. Lord, I believe your book. I believe heaven's going to be just like what you've said it's going to be. I don't believe we'll be disappointed, Lord, in heaven. We're not going to be disappointed with the accommodations there. We're not going to be disappointed with our associates and all the surroundings. Everything that's there, Lord, will not be disappointed in them. Well, Lord, I worry we'll be disappointed because some of our loved ones, some of our friends are not going to be there because, Lord, we don't take time witness to them. We don't try to win them. Lord, I worry that we'll be disappointed because one day we'll stand in the judgment and we'll see rewards being given out and we'll realize, you know, I could have served you better than I did. Oh, God, would you deal with us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. We invite you to come. Listen, if you're here,